Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everyone doing tonight? For those of you who are still eating, just continue to do so. If you're seated out in the courtyard, just stay there and enjoy the fresh air. But we're just going to get started a little later than usual, but that's okay. We're having some good fellowship tonight. Tonight's a little different than a normal Thursday night. We've just finished up the book of Colossians, and that was last week, and next week we're starting the book of Proverbs. So we invite you guys to come on out and go through Proverbs. We've got some very talented men of God who are going to be teaching from that book. And tonight, what we're going to do after we have some prayer and some worship is we're going to have some sharing time for the men who've been sitting through the book of Colossians to share some of the things the Lord has put on their heart. And so that'll be just so you get a chance to get to know some of the guys and just have let the Lord do his work tonight. But we're going to start out with some prayer requests that some of you guys have submitted, and I'll be praying for those. And let's get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. And we just pray your blessing upon the men here, Lord. And we bring up these requests before you in front of each other, Father God, knowing that you hear these requests, Father. And you even knew about them before we wrote them down ourselves, Father. You put them on our hearts. So we just ask, Lord, for you to intercede in these parts of our lives, Father, in his family and friends. And that you would hear our requests and you would answer these prayers. For our brother Alex, praying for protection over his family, his wife and his son, and they've been under some spiritual attack, and they just would like you to just intercede, Father God, and to just help Alex and his wife, Lord, and this young family, Lord, to just to live for you, Father God, that you would just guide their steps, and that you would just make straight the paths, Father, for them, Lord. So I just pray that you would just honor their request, Lord, to just bless their family and guide them through this time of spiritual battle, Father God, and that you would bless them and just honor this request, Father God. For Brother Nick, praying for his dad, Angelo, to strengthen his heart, and he has some shoulder pain and other health issues, Father God, so we just pray for Angelo right now. We just pray that he would feel your healing touch upon his body, Lord, that he will know that you're interceding, Father God. For our brother Daniel, and as usual, he would like us to just lift up the unborn in this country, in this world, Father God. We pray that that you just heal the brokenness in this land, Father God, and just whatever Satan has put in our hearts to accept this process of terminating pregnancies, Lord. And we pray you be with the young women, Lord, who have made this decision, Lord, that you would just heal their hearts, Father God, and that you would just change the hearts of our country, Father, that we would just see children in a different light, Father, and see them as the blessing that you created them to be, Father God. And we just pray that that would just influence the decisions we make and why we make those decisions, Lord. Our brother Ed Jeffers wants to lift up his daughter Kim. Her house was broken into and several things of value were stolen, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that apparently no one was hurt. We just pray that you just comfort Kim, Father. The feeling of being violated, that your home was broken into when she wasn't there, and things were touched and thrown about, I'm sure, Father. It's just a very uneasy feeling. And so I just pray that you just give her peace, Lord, knowing that your Holy Spirit is over that house, Father God, and that you would provide for her needs and the things that were taken, Lord, that you would just have those returned, Father, or replaced, Father, in some way, Lord. But mostly, Lord, that you just bring peace to her heart and her household, Father God, knowing that you are in control and these thieves cannot take the relationship she has with you away from her. I want to lift up Adriana. She's in the hospital with a bad thyroid, and she's just a baby. a young little girl with a thyroid problem. Father God, we just pray your healing touch to be upon that child, Father God, that baby, that little one. And we just pray you just give peace to the parents and comfort, Lord, and that they would just know that she's in your hands, Father, and that you will heal her and touch her. And for Hannah, she wants to lift up her family, particularly her kids, John, who's looking for a job. And we just pray that you would just provide him that job, Lord, that you would give him wisdom in that job search, Father. Also, pray blessings upon Hannah's other children, Lord. I know she lifts them up every week and different things they're going through, Father. We just pray you would just touch them, Lord. And again, Father God, we thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. And will you pray your hand to be upon us tonight, Lord, and just guide us as the men share from their hearts, Father, of what you've done in our lives, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. So as I mentioned before, we basically have sharing tonight on the book of Colossians. Now, Marty, would you want to get started? Many of you have seen a book chart on your table. So Brother Marty is going to start out just by kind of explaining that. He puts these together, and they're very interesting and useful tools to just put it in your file and pull it out when you're going to read Colossians. Basically, Marty puts one together in every book. So eventually you'll have a collection of them. And it's a nice Bible study tool to give you a good quick look at what the Lord has done. And in part of it is testimonies from the teachers that he puts quotes in there that have come up from our teachers. So go for it, Marty.
Book chart. Yeah, what it's meant to do is be a quick reminder of what the book is all about. Hopefully, some of the little comments that you've seen here will actually bring you back to our teaching. Remember what the teachers taught. If you remember, Colossians itself is much like the book of Ephesians. Four chapters, the first half split in half is all doctrine. The second half is all application. So there's two main points that Colossians wants to make. First is obviously the preeminence of Jesus. You know, he is above all. He should be first in your life, first one that we go to in prayer, right? When we have a problem, man, we go to God. We go to himself. We don't have to go through anyone, but we go to him directly. Second thing, is his sufficiency. We don't need to add anything to Jesus. It's not Jesus plus this saves me. No, it's Jesus saves. So with those in mind, kind of tuck this away. You'll see some kind of Pastor Bill when he went through Philemon. He ended up his teaching with about four quick study questions that you can kind of meditate on at home. And I picked up on that and I put that in the lower right, some takeaway questions. Just your time with God, you know, bring those before him and let him work through this book and in your life. Yeah. But that's what this is all about. Yeah. Pleasure. Pleasure, bro.
Okay. So who would like to be the first one to share? Daniel, come up, brother.
Okay. Now, I talk funny because my danger, you know. I just, bear with me. So, going through the book of Colossians, two verses stand out to me. In Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. So the word cheat you is, here is the term for robbery. False teachers who are successful in getting people to believe lies, rob them of truth, salvation, and blessing. The second word of philosophy, true philosophy, is a philosophy literally is a love of wisdom. Appears only here in the New Testament. The word referred to more than merely the academic discipline, but describing the theory about God, the word or the meaning of life. Those embracing the Colossian heresy, there was an heresy going on, use it to describe the supposed higher knowledge they claim to have attained. Paul, however, equated the false teacher philosophy with empty deceit. So basically, you know, we get tricked into believing something that is not. That is with a worthless deception. Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The arguments, their thoughts, ideas, speculation, reasoning, philosophy, and false religions are the ideological forces in which men barricade themselves against God and the gospel. The basic principle of the world, far from being advanced, profound knowledge, the false teachers believe were simplistic and immature, like all the rest of the speculation, ideology, philosophies, and psychology the fallen satanic and human system invents. So we always try to gain up on God with our own belief, you know, with our own extrapolation of what the truth is, whatever or not. But the basic, what we need basically is the word of Jesus in our life. Is relevant to us, and we don't need anything else to be added. So philosophy is the love of wisdom. It describes any theory about God, the world, and the meaning of life. In Colossians 2:18, let no one cheat you out of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So we have to be careful about the power grab in our own mind, you know, that goes along with the flesh, you know. So we have to listen to Paul, what he says regarding. Paul warned the Colossians to stay on track with the gospel and to be aware in their walk in the faith. In chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind, that can be translated to think, or have this inner disposition as a compass point north. The believer's entire disposition should point itself toward the things in heaven. Heavenly thoughts can only come by understanding heavenly realities from Scripture. In Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they think of the Spirit. It's not an admonition, but a statement of facts that apply to all believers. In Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Revelation 3:14, to the Laodicean, there was one letter from to the churches. In verse 17, Revelation 3, verse 17, because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. When we profess to know Christ, but not truly belong to him. The heart is deceiving. The heart is deceiving. We cannot serve two masters. We will serve one, only one, or the other. The heart always follows the Spirit. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? With his philosophy, lies and deceit. The Spirit of God, the truth, the way, the life, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. There's no way to have both of them. We either serve one or the other. Either the spirit of the flesh, the Satan, the world, or the Spirit of God. There's no division among brothers in the Spirit of God. It is the Church of Jesus Christ. We're born again in the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us in all kinds of truth. Colossae was a thriving city 500 years before Christ. Black wool and dyes were imported products made from the nearby chalk deposit. So they were having their own product, you know. In addition, the city was situated at a crossroad of commerce. By Paul's day, however, the main road had been rerouted through nearby Laodicea and Hierapolis. In other words, God rerouted the street, the road of commerce, because they were not able to keep up with the word of God. I mean, they were become self-sufficient and full of pride and for their own product, and they forgot the word of God in their life, you know. So it's very important we keep our mind and heart, you know, into the word of Jesus as a church, you know. Colossae mixed population of Jewish and Gentile manifested itself both in the composition of the church and in the heresy that plagued it, which contained elements of both Jewish legalism and pagan mysticism. So, Pastor Vernon McGee, you know, Vernon J. McGee, he said, the moment we reject the gospel and shut our heart to God, we are wide open for the big lie when it comes. This is the reason so many today fall for everything that comes along. If we were not standing for the word of God, we are easy prey for any false teaching, cult, or error that puts you in their bullseyes. We all believe Jesus Christ. I know we are a good brother, but we have to look out for others around us and loving them and teaching them the word of God, you know, through love and the affection that we feel for Jesus Christ, we transfer onto them. So it's important that we keep our mind and hearts open to the word of God.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
All right, who's next? It's just a little quick testimony. Doesn't Daniel prepared a nice little, you know, review there. But Brother Jeff, you want to share just a minute?
Try to be short and brief. I guess kind of it's, I guess the testimony is kind of what to get off and what to get on. And unfortunately for me, I soiled myself. Not just now, but here I was wanting, I was believing, I was deserving of something. I should have it. I was wronged. I was judged. I felt an action of a Christian brother was awkwardly carried out and made me feel unwarrantedly judged, tried, and convicted of something I would never do knowingly, treat someone disrespectfully. It's just not me. So I thought, I deserved an apology. But this is earthly. This is not what we're really supposed to be thinking about or focusing on. Colossians taught me, wake up. What should you really put on? And this is what grabbed me, was Colossians chapter 3, 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, so really, above all these things, what are these things? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, love, which ties it all together. And I, for me, that just hit home, because as I've been here before and said, it's the how, what, when, where, why to live. This just speaks to me loudly. So thanks to our speakers who shared. I watched on YouTube. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Paul. Where's the other one? Thank you, Marty. Thank you.
And thank you, Jeff. Anyone else?
By Paul's letter, I learned one thing to major my life about. Offenses will come. But when you get offended, you're sinning. For example, if you're driving along on the road and someone cuts you off and you want to get even, that's being offended. We are not to do that. So the whole rule of thumb is to love others as you love yourself.
Anyone else? It impressed me with a teaching from Colossians chapter 2 that Brother Marty covered the passages. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your hearts, of your flesh, has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. I don't know about you guys, but I've sinned, and we've all sinned, and the consequences of that sin is death. It's eternal death and separation from God, and the law has just made it clear to us that handwriting of requirements and highlighted the sin in our lives, and sometimes we think, well, we can no longer come to God, and that's through generations that have kept people from coming to God because the sin is so overwhelming, the requirements are so hard and the consequences so great, but he's taken it out of the way, is the last part of that verse. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So as Marty put it, he has taken our sins out of the way, the sins that have kept us from that relationship with Christ because we just didn't feel worthy. And we're basically not worthy, except, but God. Christ, God has taken that, Christ, his atonement on the cross, has taken those sins out of the way. So we no longer have that giant blockade, that wall of separation that prevents us from knowing God and coming to God on a daily basis. We think that even as Christians, if we have any sin in our life, it's like, well, I'm not going to pray today because, you know, I shouldn't. I'll wait till I have a good week or something like that. And the bottom line is there is no good week aside from God. That wall of separation has been taken down. The sins have been taken out of the way. And the handwriting of requirements that was against us, the law that just highlights our unworthiness, but that was taken away. And he's been nailed to the cross. And it's forever nailed to the cross. It hasn't come down. God hasn't wiped us, brought our sins back and put them back on us because we've had a bad day or because we forgot to pray that morning. Those sins were nailed to the cross. The separation's been taken away. The sins are out of the way from this point on. And we're no longer separated from God, and we have that access and salvation. So I just loved that reference of just taking it out of the way, and that handwriting of requirements that was against us, the sin is just nailed to the cross. It's gone. Christ's atonement took care of that once and for all, and that is good news in my mind. If anyone else wants to share, it's not too late, but if not, we're just going to adjourn, and thank you guys for coming. It was good having you all here tonight.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.